Afghanistan, largely ignored by the West since Soviet troops pulled out in 1989, Afghanistan is once again becoming the focus of attention, this time because of terrorism. The terrorist threat does not emanate from the Afghan people themselves. They are preoccupied with internal problems, a civil war that has raged since the Soviet withdrawal. The threat comes rather from Islamic extremists from the outside who joined the Afghan resistance to the Soviet occupation. They received weapons and explosives training in Afghanistan, training largely paid for by the CIA. After the war, when they went back to their home countries or third countries, many of these foreign volunteers turned to terrorism, using their newly acquired military skills. Even today, long after the Soviet withdrawal, Afghanistan remains a training ground for terrorists. NPR's Ted Clark reports.
Thousands of young men from the Arab world joined the jihad against Soviet troops in Afghanistan. The war helped these Afghan Arabs, as they're known, to unite and form loose organizations, according to Kenneth Katzman of the Congressional Research Service.
It was a catalyst for individuals from individual countries to meet each other, and then after the war is over, to continue their friendship, their ties, their bonds, and carry that back in the form of Islamic opposition movements in their home countries.
Some of these opposition movements embraced Islamic extremism in Algeria, for example, and Tunisia, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia. The Afghan Arabs were emboldened by their victory over the Red Army. Zalmay Khalilzad of the RAND Corporation.
They developed some confidence that tactics that worked against the Soviet Union could work and be applied in different circumstances against other targets.
Investigators believe that militants trained in Afghanistan were responsible for last year's assassination attempt against Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak.
Just after the airport, I left the airport, suddenly I found a blue van blocking the road and machine guns started. Then I realized that there are bullets coming to our car.
Mubarak was not harmed. Less than 5 months later, though, a bomb exploded in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, killing seven people, five of them Americans.
We intend to assist the Saudi government to find out who is responsible for this terrible outrage, and we intend to make sure these people are brought to justice.
What State Department spokesman Nick Burns didn't know then, we know now. Three of the men who confessed to the bombing had received military training in Afghanistan. And according to news reports from the region, veterans of the Afghan War are among those suspected of setting the more deadly bomb last June, which killed 19 U.S. servicemen in Dahran, Saudi Arabia. There was also an Afghan connection in a 1993 blast that killed six people in New York.
The force of the explosion, the magnitude of the explosion, the fact that it generated a lot of intense heat at the immediate site, the fact that we did find some traces of nitrate. None of these things are absolutely conclusive, but they certainly indicate that a very strong possibility that there was a bomb.
It was a bomb that went off under the World Trade Center, and one of those convicted, Mahmoud Abu Halima, was a man from Egypt who had fought in Afghanistan. Another suspect, Ramzi Youssef, has ties to Afghanistan as well. Youssef is also being tried on charges that he planned to blow up nearly a dozen U.S. airliners. In a striking example of unintended consequences, the United States helped to train many of the Afghan Arabs who now attack U.S. interests and pro-American governments. The CIA spent billions equipping and training the Afghan resistance, including volunteers from the Arab world. Zalmay Khalilzad, who was a key Afghanistan policymaker in the Reagan administration, says U.S. officials didn't give much thought to what the Arab volunteers would do after the Soviets were defeated.
When we started the Afghan operation, there were very few people who thought there ever would be a post-Soviet Afghanistan. The strategic objective, frankly, was how to increase the cost of the Soviet victory in Afghanistan. And therefore, not much attention was paid to what would happen in Afghanistan afterwards in terms of the terror issues that we are focusing on now.
Dr. Khalilzad says, in retrospect, it might have been wise to establish a stable government in Afghanistan as part of the arrangement under which Soviet forces withdrew.
We considered it for a short while, but given the lack of trust that existed with regard to the Soviet Union, And given our desire to get the Soviets out as quickly as possible, we did not want to hold back on Soviet withdrawal or give the Soviets an excuse for not wanting to withdraw by engaging in a protracted discussion or effort to establish a post-Soviet Afghanistan or a transitional regime.
Without a stable post-Soviet regime, Afghanistan fell apart. Resistance leaders attacked those who had collaborated with Moscow, and then resistance leaders turned on each other. Neighboring countries, seeking hegemony in Afghanistan, have provided weapons and support to the various factions there, and that has prolonged the conflict. Recent U.S. Senate hearings showed how badly splintered Afghanistan has become. All factions were invited to send representatives. The list of those who testified that day was 3 pages long. Among them was Abdul Rahim Ghafurzai.
In the fight against the Soviets, we all defended our homeland from a single united front. Isn't it disgraceful today that we are sitting in 40 separate seats? Dear countrymen, do you know what had happened? You and I were once the heroes of the 80s. Today they call us the terrorists and drug traffickers of the 90s.
The people of Afghanistan often have little choice but to let terrorist groups and drug cartels operate in their country. Barnett Rubin is director of the Center for Preventive Action at the Council on Foreign Relations.
What you have in Afghanistan now is a very large, sparsely populated territory with essentially no government, and some local groups that are quite desperate for any kind of resources or outside support and are willing to allow outside groups to use their territory if they get some benefit from it.
As an example of outsiders who are using Afghan territory now, Kenneth Katzman points to Osama bin Laden.
He was a major financier of Arab volunteers who went to the Afghan war originally. He then went to Sudan, where he bought property and set up basically terrorist training camps for a lot of different movements, Hamas, Hezbollah, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, anti-Egyptian groups, Jihad, Islamic group. Now Sudan has been pressured by the United States, France, and others. It has expelled bin Laden, but he's gone back to Afghanistan,
where, according to the State Department, he has financed a terrorist training camp. He's also believed to have provided shelter for Ramzi Youssef, the man now on trial for allegedly plotting to blow up U.S. airliners. The only way to rid Afghanistan of terrorism is to stop the fighting there and establish a functional government that will close down the camps. The United Nations has just named a new special envoy to Afghanistan, but many analysts believe the United States, as the world's only superpower, will also have to mount a major diplomatic effort if the fighting there is ever to end. This is Ted Clark in Washington.